I ended up working in a bar called Hotline. And the first person behind the console I worked with was my dear brother. That was the first day I met Titus, my first professional console. He asked me whether you can mix. I said, I can mix, right? I played, I mixed, and it was what we call the Bukit Timah race course. It was music was all over the damn place.
Everyone, welcome to the New Year's Eve special edition. I've got with me two giants in the club business, man. And before I introduce you to them, how has your 2024 been? It's going to fly out the freaking window very, very soon. And we're going to help you make sure it flies out the right way. How? There's going to be a 10-minute mixdown tape. Is that old school shit? Mixed down tape, man. In case you know, you're one of those. Is just if you're a loner, if you shoot sendiri all the time, if you're at home.
This one's for you, is it?
And for some reason or other, you're not out there celebrating somewhere for a countdown party this New Year's Eve to New Year's Day to welcome in 2025. Well, we've got a treat for you because I've got these two guys with me. They're going to be actually working a mixed down retro countdown tape for you. You can party on your own at home. Stand in front of the mirror, take your clothes off and do all kinds of shit and say, bye bye, fuck off 2024. I'm going to have 2025 is going to be a better year. And we're going to count down for you to the new year.
Sounds like me on a Sunday. No kids at home, you know, walking around without.
That's why I don't have kids. So it sounds like me almost every other day.
Okay. For some reason, I'm going to say TMI, man. You've heard them already, my guests for this New Year's Eve special. Guys, we have two big wigs, man. People that we can recognize. You hear their names, especially if you've been partying through the 90s, through the 2000s, and they've been in clubs, I tell you, so many until I cannot count. You hear their names all the time. Man, I hear their names all the time. To this day, I still have people telling me, oh, you know, at that time when I was partying there, there's a great DJ, Victor Shakur, or you hear the name Titus Singham, and these are the big wig club boys, man, the club DJs. Let me tell you, on this New Year's Eve, who else the hell can I get for this show, especially the party down New Year's Eve? I got to get some of the best DJs that you've ever had in this country, and I'm paying tribute to them on this special. And it's also the tribute series to SG's music icons. Not just limited to musos. It's also the radio DJs, club DJs, and anyone that ensures music became what it is in Singapore and continues to make it even bigger, even better, even greater. And we need to acknowledge them and we need to cherish these guys. And these guys are cherished in my fucking book.
Sweet.
Whether you like it or not, man. So welcome to the studio, guys. Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thank you very much for having us. Thanks for being here, guys.
I mean, really, I mean, the last time I had DJs here with me, Clifford the Party Man and Kenneth Mark.
Yeah.
And they drove me up the freaking wall.
I was with Clifford 2 weeks ago. He still drives me up the wall.
that's the reason why we call him a party man. Eh?
Yeah.
He's still partying at his age. Can you
believe that? You know, the first question I asked Clifford, man, was, hey, bro, how do you get all those babes around you?
Exactly.
I see pictures all the time and then I go, what the fuck, man? I mean,
it's Clifford, the party man who parties with bitches. That's what it is.
Yeah. If cameras were available as readily back in the 90s, oh my God, that boy would be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, man, at that time, you would have been a real social media king if it existed then at that time. But let's talk about you guys, man. First of all, how's your 2024 been? Let me just open it to the floor.
Okay, 2024 has been a bit crazy for me because I'm still in the dormitory industry. I manage a dormitory in Punggol, a 14,000-man dormitory.
Even till today?
Yes, even till today. I pivoted during COVID and I stuck to it. It's a blessing of a job. The guys, the people that work there are great freaking team players and stuff, right? Mm. So I stuck to it. I'm still there. And of course, on my weekends and stuff like that, I still do my parties and whatever not. So yala, you know, I'm a happy man. I am a super happy man.
Okay, I'm happy to hear that, man. I'm happy that you found something else as well that you love doing. Hang on a second, your condom dropped.
Oh, thank you.
And the condom happened to have my studio's name on it. I'm glad you like my brand.
Yeah.
So I'm happy for you, man. Seriously, I mean you found something else. I wouldn't say you pivoted, it's just that you happen to find something else that you've learned to really love and enjoy, right?
Yeah.
That's great. How about you, Titus?
Well, you know, COVID was a big stress on everybody. You actually had to think outside of the box. So I was doing things like medical deliveries. I was cooking, you know, I like to cook.
Oh my.
And I was selling like Sri Lankan cuisine, Sri Lankan prawns and stuff like that. But Sri Lankan prawn curry.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but the thing is that as COVID just, you know, slowly closed down, moved down and everything else opened up, I was able to do what I really like to do.
Okay.
6 months before COVID, I started this small event company. Mm-hmm. And now that early last year, I could actually get this thing going.
Mm-hmm.
It's what I like to do. And, I'm the kind of person that need to do something that I like to do. It's only then that I can do it well. So I'm just happy to run my small event company, and we do all your weddings, your product launches, your D&Ds and stuff like that.
Oh, so you're back to doing all that. Your events is back for
you,
right?
Yes, that's right. And, mm-hmm. and I get to DJ on my own terms.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very, very nourishing and, a great feeling. Because you're not constrained by parameters of music concepts and stuff like that,
right,
where you can actually express yourself. So I'm quite happy this year. This year has been a great year. You know, the business is slowly picking up, and it looks very positive. You know, so I'm looking to just push it a little bit more next year.
Cool. I'm glad. I just want to for the both of you, man. I just want to find out when you said you got to do something that you love, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm pretty sure everyone should actually pursue something like that, don't you think?
Of course. In my opinion, you know, look, I've met people who actually professionals, you know, friends of mine, even from school, they could be doctors, lawyers, and they ask me, what do you do? I say, I still do this. You know, I'm a DJ and I play music. I have an event company. I do events. I meet all kinds of people. And they said, man, we love your job. I said, the reason why I do it, because I love doing it. And when I look back, I'll tell you this, and I'll tell people who are listening in today, that I have never worked a day in my life because I absolutely love what I do. Now, my job has never pissed me off, okay? People have pissed me off. People have pissed me off, okay? My job has never once pissed me off. I go to work smiling, ready to do my thing. It's just people that you know, takes the countermeasures off.
Yeah, you know, usually the case. Huh?
Yeah. So my advice to anyone out there, if you're going to do something, I would strongly advise and suggest you do something that you love. That's the only way that you're going to be motivated, and you're going to come home smiling after work, come back home to a different environment and still be smiling.
What do you think, Vic? Do you agree with that?
I am a typical Gemini, right?
Okay.
The whole yin and yang thing, right? So I have my day where I am an operations guy, no bullshit. Everything's all straight up. You know, it's going to be done like this, got to be done like that. And then in the evenings, I'm a whole different guy. I'm that party guy.
So, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde.
Yeah.
So you have a little bit of a Jekyll and Hyde scenario with me, and that just keeps me going because I'm fickle. I don't like to do the same thing again and again. So doing the entertainment bit gets me well balanced, it's a nice little well balanced life. Okay.
So you really've got that little wild side that you can, it's like therapy, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then like
Titus says, the people are the ones that normally piss us off. So
tell me something new, man. Yeah. I mean,
why is it that I've always had this question of people come up to DJs, right? Whether you're a club, but you see, DJs are not superhuman people though.
Yeah.
We are ordinary people. We have whims and fancies. We have emotions. We are feeling like if you go, I'm just sidetracking just for 30.
Please do.
Now, let's say let's say, Vic, I'm going to an Aldo store and you happen to be the one selling the shoes in the Aldo store. I said, hi, I would like to take a look at this pair of shoes, but I like the size 10. Mm. And you tell me, we have a size 9. I said, could I try that? And after trying it, and I said, no, it's too small. And, you know, could you get a bigger size? But you see, we are human beings. If you talk to me nicely, we feel good. So, you know, if you want a request from a DJ, it's like that. You tell, hi, DJ, could you please play this song for me? It's my friend's Jennifer's birthday.
Right.
I said, yeah, sure, man. I'll probably say, what she like? Oh, she want this song? Okay, give me about 20 minutes. What else? You know?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If you come to a person and say, hey, I want this song, play it now, man. We're going to leave in 5 minutes time.
Oh, that's so common, right? I got to leave in 5 minutes, bro. I got to leave in 5 minutes. Can you play that song now?
I know.
Go now.
I don't mean to be rude, but you see, if I'm going to play music for people who are leaving the club, what kind of DJ am I? The club's going to be empty.
So there's a rule, isn't it? I mean, when you play as DJs and you play music, good DJs, experienced ones like you guys, A, would be able to, first of all, know the number one rule is give the people what they want.
Yep.
Right?
Yep, absolutely.
And that would mean I observed the dance floor, but nowadays people don't fucking dance anymore, right?
Yeah.
I tell you.
That's a whole different conversation altogether.
No. That conversation will be part and parcel of this, but I'll come to that later on. But when you look at the dance floor, I mean, I don't know about today, but you look at the dance floor, people are leaving the floor. Something might be wrong in my selection. So you look at your list, you got to change that to make sure people stay on that floor.
Mm.
Because the more they dance, the more sweaty they get, more tired they get, the more drinks they will order.
Yeah.
And the club bosses will be happy with you, right? And then the next thing the DJs, club DJs ought to do is that club DJs ought to know how to talk.
You'd be lucky to find a goddamn microphone at the console.
That's the thing. I mean, it's
Yeah. There's a lot of clubs without even a microphone at the console.
Oh, shit.
Yep. Yeah. It's different these days. You know, I mean, you know, the DJs, they won't be able to talk. I mean, it's a good feature to have. It's like something on your belt that you can take out and use anytime, score some points with it. But if you're going to be an entertainer and especially a good club DJ, you should be able to talk on the microphone. You must.
Yeah.
Because you take things to a different level, you bring it up a notch higher or even a few notches higher.
It's not just that. I mean, it's also about, for example, making announcements about happy hour, about promotions, right? Yep. And then at the same time, I remember years and years ago, man, I'm sure you guys know this name, Prem Lula, right? Prem, when he was DJing, especially when Hard Rock Cafe in Cascaden was new.
Right.
And my goodness, towards the end of the night, he will get the crowd going. He'll get off his console and you'll get everyone to get down.
You
know, and
we were across the street, bro. We were in Hotline when that happened.
Yeah. Oh, you were in Hotline.
Yeah.
I remember Hotline.
Yeah. We were just across the road.
So back then, man, I mean, DJs were, it was expected of the jocks to get the audience going. You know, and for them to really pay close attention. See, in my tribute today, I even make sure I got headphones here and stuff. You know what I mean? I mean, when I see headphones, I think, hey, DJ, man, DJ.
Yeah.
Club DJs, man.
Come sia.
No, really, man. I mean, it's like I said, my tribute to you guys. You know, I mean, I know the hard work that you guys have put in through the years, man. Especially in the early part of your careers, right? So before we go any further, let me just bring you back a little bit. Let's go through a little time machine. What's your earliest memory of music that sparked your love for DJ? Open to the floor.
Titus, you first.
Earliest memory.
Yeah.
Okay, earliest memory, I will tell you that my uncle was in a band and I used to go over to my grandfather's house and listen to his music. But this memory I have is mind-blowing. Let me tell you this story. I was 12 years old. Michael Jackson was being played on the radio, okay, back then, all right? Off the Wall.
Oh, yeah,
Don't Stop Till You Get Enough.
Yeah.
And I said, man.
Rock With You.
Yeah. You know, and I said, wow, this is awesome, man, you know?
Mm.
You know, I really want to go and buy the cassette. So I was primary six, right? I was like 12 years old. I saved 1 week of pocket money.
Right.
There's a cassette shop downstairs at the block, just maybe, in fact, a couple of blocks away.
Okay.
So I go to the, save the money for a week, right, and then go there. And I tell the guy, I would like to buy a Michael Jackson cassette. He gives me this cassette with a picture of a black guy on it.
Yeah.
I said, what's wrong with you? That's not Michael Jackson. I thought Michael Jackson was white.
You're not kidding.
I'm not kidding you, really.
What kind of DJ, like this fella? What kind of DJ is this guy, man?
And I love the music so much, and I, you know, and I really was into it. But I had no clue that Michael Jackson was black, so it was a shock to me. And you know, and can you imagine that years later I become a full-fledged hip hop and R&B DJ?
And he thought Billy Joel was black.
Yeah. Billy Joel.
So
yeah.
Yes. So that's a wild story, isn't it? That when I was 12, thinking that Michael Jackson was black.
So how did that get you going? Like, I'm going to be a DJ.
Oh,
was it really that?
Yeah, I mean. Well, that was one of the highlights that actually got me going, because when I started listening to Michael Jackson, I really fell in love with the style of music.
Right.
You know, and I wanted to be in a position where I could actually present the music to people, you know, and
you
play
felt
for
that
people.
You wanted you just wanted everyone else to hear, to share that music.
Yes, that's right. You know, and right. You want to deliver it to people, and the whole idea of seeing them being entertained when you are playing it for them.
Just look at this guy, man.
Yeah.
You know, when he's talking about this, and he's so animated about this whole thing, man. Just thinking about it, talking about it, it's like all over the place about this. But anyway, Off the Wall, that album, to me, in my book, was way better than Thriller.
Mm.
In my book, till this day, to me, that is still his best album, man.
Yeah.
I can listen to that. Rock With You all day, multiple times.
Yep.
That's my most favorite song from Michael Jackson. Rock With You, and from the Off The Wall album.
Yeah, right? That's a brilliant job.
I love that album.
That's
man.
A brilliant one.
It's a milestone in music.
Oh, very much. You know? Yeah. Very
that's a brilliant jam. When I was young, right? I guess primary six, same as Titus. I used to wake up with my mom blasting, I'm on the top of the world looking down on Carpenters. Oh my God. So she was playing Carpenters and freaking
Abba.
She used to go at that time my mom was single, so she was going out with this American dude who was ironically named John Wayne. Right?
You're not joking.
And all he listened to, all that country boy listened to, North Carolinian man.
Oh, boy.
Was Kenny Rogers.
Oh, boy.
Willie Nelson.
Oh,
okay. Dolly Parton. And some other things that were
Southern
just...
Southern boy, man. Southern boy.
So, and that was my influence. And my mom was working in as a waitress in a very popular bar back in the early 80s. This was a place called Kuching Mas.
Okay.
Okay. Oh. Kuching Mas and Datuk Raja were the clubs that a lot of the Malay people used to come. It was a dangdut place. This was in Gaywal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my mom used to work and she used to sneak me in during the weekends.
Mm.
Okay, so I would sit behind the DJ console at Kuching Mas, right? By this time, I think I was in Sec 1, Sec 2.
Right.
I met this DJ, which to me was the first DJ I really saw. This guy called Tommy, right?
Okay.
I God bless his soul. I don't know whether he's still alive, to be honest.
Okay.
Right. But Tommy was the first guy who went down there and he had this play that funky music vinyl, a blue colored vinyl. You remember that vinyl? Play that funky music. And the flip side was a slow jam as well. So it was pretty cool. So he used to jump around the console. Console was small, right? The bugger would be kicking me around because I'm just there, right? And he'll be jumping, playing with his turntables, playing with his records, and then freaking hyping the crowd. You know, he's like going, you know, but actually the dance floor got five people, right? Yeah, but he's just going at it, right? And I'm like, dude, that was my real first influence as a DJ.
Okay, so it was Tommy, that guy.
Yep. If you see this Tommy, you're the man.
You know that story about spinning records, man. You know the guy that I really blew my mind the first time I saw him do this. You would not believe who it is, yeah. And I actually did mention this to him. He was on my show, yeah. And at the time, he was spinning also.
Mm, right.
And I don't know if you remember Chan Nadesan.
Oh, of course.
Of course.
Yeah. We were in the same company.
Yeah.
Fusion Sound.
Yeah, we used to work together. Yeah.
Shout out to Chan and also the Chu, Ravi Nadesans. The both of them, all of them got the same name, Ravi Nadesans, but they all are Chan and Chu. Chan, shout out to you. And when Chan used to play, he used to have a gig, nightly gig in Brannigan's.
That's right. I remember that. And the Hyatt.
Yep. And I think, and this is what this guy, my guest, told me, because I saw him there years ago. And he told me, I think it was Chan's gig, and I came in the jam. William Xavier.
Okay.
So when Mr. X, when I saw him in Brannigan's, man, he took this record, right? And he went.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it spun like a freaking helicopter. And then, you know, of course, the turns are there, yeah. right? And he did this and boom.
Went right
on the money, man. Right on the money into the spindle, man.
Sweet.
You know, and it's like, what the hell? I was going, this radio jock can spin, man.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And it was, and I remember Chan was so respectful of him. He was just there like supporting role, you know. Yeah, it was respect, man. It was great. You know, it was great to see that, man. And I've always believed club DJs are so damn important. Yeah, I just feel so sad and sorry about how things are like today. But let's talk about that one later. So I just want to flash these two pictures up one at a time. I think these are pictures that maybe those partygoers back in the day would recognize. Can I put the one up with Victor, please? Oh, that's Titus first. That's Titus.
Oh, my God.
There you go. At Caesars, man.
Oh, man.
That is Titus, I'm man. Worried.
That's memories.
Oh, my goodness.
And then we've got Victor, man. Look at that, man. Woo-wee. Yeah.
That's not too long ago, actually.
The role, according to Victor Shakur.
Yeah. That's not too long ago. That was when I was in St. James. That's like maybe
You couldn't have aged years. That much in the last couple of years.
It was 15 years. There's this concept. It's called dyeing the hair. All right? After a while, the dyeing of the hair started hurting the scalp.
I'm going to get elbowed in my left very soon.
It looks like spoiled camera lens to me, man.
Oh, Titus, you remember we had to go to the tailor shops to go and get the bloody suits done. Oh my goodness.
Let me guess. Peninsula Shopping Center. Peninsula Plaza.
Yep.
There you go. Everyone used to go to these places. Dino's.
It's on the second floor, wasn't it?
Dino's.
No, me and this guy, my first so-called entry into the realm, where I was with this guy who was my schoolmate, Roy Milton.
Okay.
Right? Roy Milton was this DJ who was playing in Studebaker's and Top 10 back in the day and stuff like that. He and me were schoolmates.
Right.
We were schoolmates. And by mutual friends, somehow we ended up staying together.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And then he started DJing.
Right.
So he started DJing in a place in NTUC Pasir Ris Resort back then.
Downtown East.
Yeah, Downtown East. Now it's called Downtown East. Back then it was this
NTUC
bar.
Resort. Yeah.
So it was run by this company called Spinneys. And the company that was running it, the contract was, Electric Convention, run by this guy, George Panous.
Right? George Panous, okay.
Yeah. So these are really old timers in the industry.
Yeah. George is my first influence as a DJ, the first guy who actually taught me everything I know.
He's your mentor.
Yeah, he's my mentor. He's the first guy who, when I first saw him, I was like, what the fuck is this? This guy's walking around in spandex and, you know, he had that hair. And whenever he goes into the console, he doesn't mix very well. But once the guy goes on the microphone,
he is an entertainer.
When that guy talks, oh my God, the whole world is literally put up their hands. It's like, okay, everybody just going to put up their hands, whatever it was. So this guy, when we were there, I started out as a DJ. Mm-hmm. I started as a dancer, right? So back in the day, there was that whole concept of one DJ playing, right? And there were always two guys at the back dancing.
You
know that the whole Bobby Brown thingy, right?
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. Then after a while, going back to that Taylor thing, was that we used to go to this place at Bedok South to, there was this auntie who was selling material, right? Mm. And we used to buy all these weird freaking
sequence materials.
And they used to use this for curtains and all that stuff, right? So we used to take that, buy that, send it to a tailor. Uh-huh. Right, because we didn't have the money, we sent it to a regular tailor. I said, uncle, you tie like this, you cut like this, this one different color, looking like jesters.
Yeah.
Right. And every month we'd get like maybe 4 or 5 different suits.
Uh-huh.
And we just rotated with that, with whatever we had and stuff, man.
Hey, you guys, do you remember Lips, man?
Of course. My God, the amount of money. Do you know that the girls, the people that are working there are still working there?
Really? They're still on the third floor of Far East Plaza.
Yeah, they're
right?
Still there. Huh?
They are still there.
I remember back in the day when we were doing, events, D&Ds, right? When people used to fucking dance. When the D&D was called Dinner and Dance and there was a dance.
Yep.
Yeah. And we had our own act set up, you know, with the DJs and stuff. Mm. Then we have our own costumes. You get lips those costumes.
But they had a great range of anything from studded chains to leathers and...
Oh, man. Go-to place. That was a go-to place.
I got my first cross colors jacket there, man. Cross colors.
They even sell the Michael Jackson beaded type of jacket there and stuff.
They had all the Michael Jackson accessories.
Yep.
I was concerned.
So how old did you start? You guys, open to both of you.
Mm. How old were you? I guess I was 19 when I professionally got into a club after Top 10. Yeah. After the NTUC club.
Right.
Coincidentally, Fusion Sound Enterprise was there for a party. And this gentleman, Silas Rabi, approached me.
Right.
You know, liked the style and asked me whether I wanted to join them and stuff like that. And one thing led to another. I ended up working in a bar called Hotline.
Mm.
Right. And the first person behind the console I worked with was my dear brother.
The two of you guys have been friends for like forever, right?
Yeah.
Long.
So that was the first day I met Titus, my first professional console. He asked me whether you can mix. I said, I can mix, right? And then he said, go and play something. I played, I mixed, and it was what we call the Bukit Timah race course. Music was all over the damn place. He said, never mind, you go and play lights for a while.
I remember that.
I played lights for fucking 2 weeks, bro. I was the backup dancer of Hotline
playing lights.
Yeah, I'm the guy that played lights, so I was a champion lights player lah. Yeah, it was just on.
But that was a rite of passage back then, you know. I mean, all of us went through that.
We all had our rites of passage in almost everything. But back then, those days, right? And anyway, I'm going to come back to you. How about Titus? How old were you when you started?
Well, I think I was about the same age, about 19, I think.
But you were at it longer than
yeah. I started when I was in secondary school already. I used to do the school parties, junior college. I used to do all the parties, the fun fairs and all that. So I could talk a little bit, and I could DJ a little bit. So I was in the Fusion office in Bukit Timah one day, and there's this DJ, okay? His name is Cool J, Malaysian guy, who comes in to play at this club called Speedway Lounge, which is a lounge on, I think, the fifth floor of Far East Shopping Center opposite the Thai Embassy. Now, this is back in the 80s, the late 80s. It used to be owned by Freddie and Patrick Lee of Speedway, the band.
Oh, shout out to Freddie and Patrick. Yeah. Hey, guys.
Right? Okay.
Still waiting for you to come on my show, though.
So
Speedway, the guys on Speedway. Yeah. So
I was in the office and my boss, James Poe, runs Fusion, is it?
Oh, James Poe.
Yeah,
and
I was then, and Vincent, who runs the operations, he said, Cool J can't make it to the club today. And James said, he's always not coming to the club. He's always late. He's taking MC. Then James Poe looks at me and said, can you play rock and roll? I said, of course I could. And I knew my music, right? So people who go to the lounge is all pretty much older in their 50s, 40s, 50s, you know? So I came with a stack of records.
Yeah.
So when I reached there, the band started. There was this guy who plays organ and a lady singing Hokkien songs.
Oh my goodness.
I'm like, and she's like, mung hai la, mung hai sarayr. And then the guy's singing, I was like, what the hell, man? I got to play. So, I'm like, then I looked at all the people in the lounge. They're all like sitting down playing 5'10", whatever, old guys with the mama-san and the ladies and all that, right?
Okay.
Right? So, I took out my records. Look, okay, I'll start off with rock. I started off with Johnny B. Good. Okay? When I played Johnny B. Good, everybody in the club stood up and started dancing. And I got them dancing for the whole set. And the first time, Patrick and Freddie said, my God, we've never seen people dance in the club because the last DJ just played what he wanted to play. He didn't entertain the crowd. You know, and this time, the first time I got people dancing in a lounge where it's people normally play 5'10".
Yeah.
And they listen to the band.
Right.
And he calls up my boss. I think we need to hire this guy full time for the club. So that that was my first club right. playing rock and roll. And I grew up on rock and roll with my uncle. And I, you know, I was happy playing stuff like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Thanks for sharing that, man, guys. No, I want to discover it. When you were 19, what year was that?
It was shit. I gotta do my math.
It's now. When policemen wore shorts now, for you, Vicky. Can remember.
Bring up, down. I was in 89, 90.
So that means now you guys are what, 54?
I am 52.
You're 52?
I'm 55. So I think it's about give and take 3 years.
Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah.
You're a year older than me and you're 2 years younger than me.
Mm.
Okay. So we're all about the same generation, same era. Mm.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. I just wanted to discover that fact. And even now, at 55, and you're still at it.
It's what I love to do.
I agree.
You know what
I
I'm saying?
I will be doing this until I really croak, you know, because this is really something that I love.
Yeah, it's good because, I mean, you look at DJs from, look, Africa Bambaataa, you look at Cash Money, you look at Jazzy Jeff. These guys are older than us, you know.
Yeah.
I've played alongside with some of them, actually, and they are way much older than me, and they're still doing it in the UK and the States.
Wow.
You know, so the mentality over there is so different from here. But having said that, coming back to the point is that, yes, we love it so much that we could do it. I'll do it till I kick the bucket, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Although I must say that for me, I choose the kind of gigs I get involved in.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
I've been offered a few times to play for so-called younger crowds, 20-year-olds or 25-year-olds. I don't find any joy in that. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to play.
Why?
Yeah, because it's very easy to play.
Okay.
Right. For me, the art of DJing is your hits and misses, right? Where you have a gig where you're playing, say, 50 songs, you know, and you get some songs wrong, you get some songs where they just fucking scream, you know.
Yeah.
That's the pure joy of it. You know, I don't like to play like in a graduation party where, okay, you give me 50 hits, I know this is all going to work. Mm-hmm. And every song you play, they're just going to scream.
There's no challenge in it.
There's no joy in it.
Yeah.
Right. I'd rather walk into a bar and, you know, okay, that's a 30-year-old Chinese man. That's a 30-year-old white man. That's a 30-year-old Indian man. Mm-hmm. Okay, I play the greatest hits of Eagles and everybody's going to be happy, mm-hmm. you know, or something like that. It's taken us years to really understand what people like. Reading freaking body languages and stuff like that.
And I
can say that we are pretty good at what we do, lah.
You know? I think you're pretty good at remote viewing as well.
Yeah, because
I'm doing my best not to show my questions on my screen. but somehow or rather you're answering questions before I can.
Sorry.
No, it's good. That's good. It means the conversation is flowing the way I wanted it to go.
Nice.
No, you know, don't worry. We're not here to take your job.
I'm not worried about that.
Not yet,
man. Not yet, boy.
But you know, Vic, when you mentioned that, you know, when you see a 30-year-old man, you address the situation and see what you play. So can you imagine a club DJ, right? You go into a club, things work at super fast pace. You play one song and when you mix the next song in, you're already addressing how has this song affected the people and the mood on the floor.
Yes.
Right. So it's all about control here. So you play this song and say, oh, I find there's too many guys. Okay, now maybe I want to make it more sexy. I play something sexy and girls come to the dance floor.
Mm.
And then I make it sexy for a while and say, okay, now I want guys to come to the dance floor. I play something else. And now I want to bring it to another level. I play a big party hit and everybody goes crazy. Mm. Then I want to slow it down by getting the tempo a bit more lower, let people go and have the drinks and then, you know, rotate the thing again. Yeah. So it's all about control.
Yeah. But in this day and age, do you guys still talk behind a microphone?
I do. Course. Yeah, of course.
Of course.
Still do, right?
Of course.
Yeah. You still find that it's necessary.
Yep. We get times, I don't know whether Titus does, but we get times when people say, can we get you a hype man?
Yeah,
because that's the thing now, right? I mean, no disrespect to all the hype men out there, you know, but we can hype ourselves.
That's right. I mean, you know,
yeah, right? Exactly.
Yeah, hype men. I was like, no, because no disrespect to hype men, because sometimes as you are mixing, you want to cut at the exact moment where you know where you want to cut, but all you have is this disruptive guy who is just like during that important bit, he goes like, everybody, he takes the whole suspense into that song.
I've got nothing against hype men. I mean, I've played along some really good professional hype men from
the UK.
From the UK and the States, and they are good. They know what they're doing, you know, but I think also you need to understand that being a kind of DJ that uses the microphone, we know exactly the point of impacts, the point of intersection of the songs. We know what to say at what point of time.
Exactly. When to shut the fuck up.
Exactly. Because you're the ones in control behind on a deck, right? You know what's coming up next. Right. You know what? Why you're doing what you're going to be doing.
No doubt.
But this thing you talk about, man, hype men.
Yeah.
Now, I don't need to respect them. I don't need to disrespect them. But the fucking thing is that I don't really care much because this is I've heard about this, you know, quite rarely, but I've heard about this thing called hype man.
Mm.
And now that you mentioned, even in the UK, they have it.
Yeah.
So it's not just a Singapore phenomenon.
No.
It's across the world thing.
It's across the board. It's across the world.
For fuck's sake, man. You know, a long time ago in the 90s, right? Especially the 90s were my heydays. You know?
Mm.
Not that, I mean, it was, that was the time, that was my time. Really.
Right.
And I do gigs, right? So this, we used to have, there was a small little short span of time that it had this thing called the Mikey. You heard of it?
You need to remind me, I'm an old man.
Look, I'm older than you. The Mikey is a guy that comes during the dance segment of an event. And he's a guy that will go, clap your hands, everybody, clap your hands, somebody scream, you know what I mean? Which is like your hype man, right?
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, we used
to call these guys Mikeys. And as an MC, I go, what the fuck are you paying extra money for this?
I mean, you can do it yourself.
Yeah.
You know exactly when to do it.
I mean, you've really paid me my money. If you want me to stay for the dance, which I usually would love to, because it's when you're single and you're young, it's when you get the birds, right?
Yeah. No argument for me here.
Right. So I would stay back. So pay me the extras, what you're paying this dude, right, and I'll do that shit for you. Because what's the difference?
Yeah.
We go up on stage as MCs. We play games with you. We hype the audience way before the dance.
Yeah. That connection is already there.
Connection is established. The rapport is there.
Yep.
Right? So what the hell? So when I hear this thing about hype men, I go, what the fuck?
Mm.
The DJ, a good jock, ought to be equipped already to do this, in my opinion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, more than equipped, you know, and if the DJ is not equipped to do that, then he should not be a DJ.
Yeah. I don't want it to seem that, you know, three people of the same generation or what they want to call us, boomers or whatever it is, right? I don't want some younger fella to come around and say, hey, you know, I look at the boomers, whatever, you know.
But they will, no matter what we do.
But to me, I have a very different concept about it. As much as this is my mantra, even the same thing I do with my kids, I don't turn around and write that person off and say, hey, you boomer, you don't know what you're doing. Because I don't want to write that younger person off and say, you're young, you're young punk, you don't know what the fuck you're doing, right? So I give that mutual respect, right? I take that comment in and I just, okay, you know, it's a very, very strange world now.
Yeah, but Vic, you see, the idea is this, you know, if you think about, it doesn't matter which generation or which era you're from. At the end of it all, when you're young, we have to look up to the older ones and learn from them and develop your own, and you evolve your own.
Right,
and you get better than the guy that came before you.
Correct.
As much as I want to agree with you, unfortunately,
that's not the reality.
Yeah, the reality of it is that these guys are...
But it doesn't make it right, Vic.
Yeah,
it doesn't make it right.
Agree, no, but agree, you know, agree. It's not that there are no good hype men out there. There are good, but you know, I think it's important to realize that there's nothing wrong if a person wants to be a hype man. It's just what I would like to suggest is make sure you're as professional as you can be, know when you're going to say what you're going to say, you know, so that it doesn't break the monotony of the song or it complements the DJ. And one of the very important things that I think that's missing is the diction.
Yeah.
You know, so when you pronounce things and you say things on the microphone, make sure they're crystal clear, make sure your diction is correct. You know, it sounds ridiculous. So we are now going to sing this song, I'm here without you, baby. I mean, it's like, what?
There are some guys who really hit the note, lah. You know, remember Aubrey. Aubrey is freaking awesome as a hype man. There is a Raihan. Raihan's a freaking awesome hype man. J-Boy is a freaking awesome guy. But these guys have also been around.
Yeah,
they've been doing this for a while. So a new age style of hype guys I've seen recently.
Oh my God.
It seems to me that you guys, the way you talk, is that you guys are so resigned to fate. That, you know, yeah, okay, this is what it is. It is what it is. So we have to just accept it. Blah, 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 blah.
Oh, man, if I can stop the clock, bro, oh, I would.
Man. You know, what the hell happened, you know? I mean, through the years that you reached this stage where DJs don't do the hyping and someone else does.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it, come on.
It's called, it's this real concept. It's a club. It's a concept called club owner thinks they know everything.
The club owner is a cock.
Yes.
Let's just say it straight out. I mean,
8 times out of 10.
Idiots, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Or maybe really.
You see, I believe in innovation. Not that I don't. I believe, but then again, you must think about this. Why reinvent the wheel when the wheel has already been invented?
Yeah.
Change the styling, change the freaking rims, whatever. But don't reinvent the wheel.
Mm.
Unless you got something that floats, fine.
Yeah, you can't change the functionality of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it doesn't make any freaking sense to me, man. So since we're on that topic about these kind of changes and challenges, from the time of vinyl, man, I remember those days. You had the T-shaped console. God. Remember the T-shaped console? Yep, you turn the fucker upside down and the turntable still doesn't drop out. Remember?
Yeah. Wow.
And heavy like shit, man. And just putting, you know, just to fit it into a HDB flats lift. Wow. Yeah, just to go up and down is a nightmare, man.
Oh my God.
I've done all that too, man. It's also rites of passage. You know, we all had to carry equipment and set up equipment.
Yep,
and then
yep.
Change up and do the show, then change out and then, you correct. Know,
carry the tear lights, down carry and the then.
Yeah, oh man, I remember this one. I was doing this show with Rabi, right? I can't remember what year this was. The Marco Polo Hotel, right?
The old Marco Polo. Yeah.
So we had set up like 5 freaking shows and stuff. So that was during Fusion Day. So they would get like maybe 20 shows a day or some shit like that, right? So I will be tasked with like 5 setups, and I still got a DJ in one. So by the time I finished my freaking last setup, I had to go and change. I was hungry, like fuck, you know.
Edinburgh.
No, then the guys back in the day when they were putting up the banners and on stage, right? It was all, you know, the pre-drawn kinds, right? Yeah. It wasn't
with
it
wooden
was,
panels.
Yeah, like, it, so they would put up, you know. Yeah. Then the thing came down.
Canvas.
Hungry like fuck. Looking at Rabi, hungry. Yeah, buto, fucking what time ready, bro? We still gotta start. Then the banner comes up. Singapore Chef Association. I was like, whoa. And the food was freaking brilliant, bro. And Rabi, who can sell ice to an Eskimo, managed to talk to the organizer and say, hey, DJ also needs to eat. Ah, next thing you know, poor DJ was the first few to go in makan. Oh, those were the days.
You know, you're talking about food and DJs, right? I always believe, you know, no matter what, I'm not speaking as an MC. I mean, I don't really care about me because I don't like to eat before a gig or during a gig. That's why I get gastric at the end of each show. Because I don't like this thing about, you know, you start.
I feel you.
You start burping and getting reflux when you're doing a freaking show or singing, because I sing too. And then, you know, but I always believe, man, the roadies, the crew and the jock, take care of them. Give them food to eat, man. You know, and
I see that now, you know. Honestly, I see that now. I've done quite a bit of events now. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that a lot of these AV companies, they actually cater food.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, I see quite a bit.
They do, but you know what? Well, from my side, when we do the events normally, I always inform the client that, you know, to make some provision for the entertainers or whatever. Yeah. So it's not an issue. It's just a quick reminder.
That's good to hear.
That's good to hear. And anyway, still on the same topic, we talk about vinyls, right? We're talking about vinyls. Yeah. Different vinyls, there was a time, I mean, we all know this time, when it transitioned to digital. I mean, that moment in your history, how difficult was that, man? I remember that it was like a Vestex, you know, going to the CDs, and it was the Vestex players and stuff, right? Yep. And then when you're spinning vinyls and you end up on Vestex and CDs, then after that, you end up on what you have today, your Serratos and your Traktor and using digital completely with a laptop and stuff, right?
Yep.
Now, how did you guys manage all that change?
Transition from vinyls to CDs to even to, you know, MP3s and all that.
Yeah.
One thing you can't take away from that, I'll say it now, and that is the human element of the DJ, all right? Before I get to that, you see, the DJ still has to look at the crowd, assess the crowd, play the right music, say the right words, get the crowd going, and make sure they have a great time. He delivers that, you know? So the moment the Japanese comes up with AI for that, we are fucked. Okay? But
actually, aren't we fucked now? I mean,
I love AI. I know, I love my ChatGPT. Yeah.
Oh, wow, wow, yeah, okay, yeah. Okay, I gotta tell
you
that.
Yeah, yep. But you know, but coming back to the point where you say we transition from vinyls to CDs, the entire concept of selecting the song, mixing the song is still the same.
Yeah,
you need to know your bars, you need to know the entry points, you need to know everything from a key to blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
The only difference is that the operating system of how you, what you use.
Mm.
So from vinyls, you're using, of course, vinyls with a cartridge stylus turntable. You go to CD, you're using a CD, but you still got to mix it. You still got to pitch it. You still got to, you got to choose the point of where you want a song to enter and all that. It's just a different set of buttons.
And then from CD over to
MP3s.
To MP3s. Then from, I mean, now it's MP3s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, then, so how did you manage it? It's still the same thing. You got to pick your playlist, right?
Yes, you still. So there's different ways to do it, like different kinds of
playlists. Yeah, but you see, the trouble is that right now, you go to a bar, not necessarily a club, more so a bar. When you go into a bar, that you know that it's nice to have a DJ in a bar.
Spotify.
Right? Yeah, it's fucking Spotify.
DJ Spotify.
So now you spot, you're, even from on my own playlist, on my own Spotify playlist, I can actually, you know, put on that the playback, the seamless playback, right? Right, and then you know, you it's mixed in somehow, like, I mean, rudimentary.
Correct.
But it's there. So some of these bar owners go, hey, you know what? It does this shit. So I must just use this and save money instead of paying a DJ.
Correct.
Yeah. So what's your take on that, man?
I think owners that do that need to go bankrupt. learn the hard fucking way, right? But, and get out of the industry.
No, but you know, Vic, but if you think about it clinically in that sense, here's, this is what I think, you know? I mean, you own a club and you select a song. Do you know that maybe... Do you understand that your bar is the busiest maybe from 8 to 9?
Yeah.
You can't be playing Total Eclipse of the Heart at 8:30 when your bar is packed.
Yeah.
You know, you want to play something like John Cougar Hurt So Good.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or Take On Me or something like that. Or even a Bruno Mars, something up tempo. You don't be playing so long. So you need to have the right person to actually
activate the song.
Yes, correct. Integrate the right kind of music, the right kind of songs based on the tempo, based on the mood.
I agree completely, guys. Don't get me the wrong way, man. I mean, I've always advocated for musos and DJs. Mm. And I'm pretty sure you guys, I hope you know that.
Mm.
But I want to raise all this because hopefully people who watch this, especially the dumbass club owner or bar owner, would listen to this and make some sense of this. Because right now in their marketplace, their audience, right?
Right.
They have this younger generation sitting in there.
Correct.
Yep.
They who wouldn't know any better because they never ever experienced the
real
era
proper
that we, yes.
Yeah.
They were never been exposed to it. So to them, it's like, it doesn't make any difference to me. So the bar owner goes, okay, they don't know any fucking difference. So, you know, just leave it alone. I save money. I make more margins now.
Yep.
So that's that. Don't you think that that is the case?
Yeah.
So what actually, if I were to ask two experienced guys like you played in multiple clubs throughout the years, if there is, I'm not going to ask for a solution, but a top of hit idea, how can we get these establishment owners to recognize that or to get it out into the public sphere for the newer, younger generation to see that this is what you guys missed? Is there a way we can do this? Because it seems to me that in the entertainment business, no disrespect to Star Association. No disrespect.
That's still
Sheldon,
a thing.
Don't, Sheldon, Dinde, don't get angry with me, Sheldon and Dinde, okay?
Sheldon and Dinde are champions, la, both of these guys.
Hey, Dinde was my DJ for a few gigs.
Sheldon is like three or 4 years my junior in school. You know?
Sheldon's an amazing guy. Sheldon's He's a lovely guy. Sheldon, yeah. I love you.
Sheldon.
My grumpy old man, I love you.
Dinde is the perfect buy.
I, TPP, I count out to you guys, okay? I love you guys and you know that, okay? But I will say this, that where was I going to go with this before I go?
Yeah, I mean, tell you.
Yeah, no, yeah. So basically, the musos and entertainers per se in this country do not seem to have that unity to come together and do things to get things done that would help each other. There's no unity, basically.
We come from very different time. Right. We come from a time where in the 90s,
right? When two things would happen. One is that at the end of the day, when we finish work at 1, 2, 3 o'clock or whatever, every other motherfucking DJ will go end up in Newton
Circus.
Everybody will sit down and hang out at the same goddamn table, right? I remember this motherfucker, Kevin O'Hara. This motherfucker, Kevin O'Hara, right? He will bring us all the way there. We'd hang out. But this motherfucker is going hello, 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 hello everywhere else.
He's a prostitute.
Yeah. By the time we start eating, by the time we are done, this motherfucker is still going hello, 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 hello. Fucking sleepy like fuck, ready? But that was the thrill, you know? Yeah. Every other DJ was there. Either that, you know where we came from? Sorry, your condom dropped.
My condom dropped. Yeah.
So before that, what will happen is that, hey, where is this guy playing today? He's playing at Issei. Shit. I will finish early, fuck lah, a whole bunch of us go Issei lah. Then next thing you know, in that same console, got 10 DJs, speed mixing. One fella played for one song, next fella played the next song, next fella played the next song. 10 different club DJs playing in one DJ club. Can you imagine that?
Wow.
Yeah, that's what used to happen. We all used to hang out together.
But I see the unity because, you know, recently, right? The sandbar, right? It's a great thing you guys did. Mm. I did my bit to try and help, right, though. Right.
Thanks, you.
Thank you. And Raymond Burrows lost his... Was it Raymond Burrows?
Yes.
His house caught fire, right?
Yep.
And there was this effort, this benefit to raise funds for him to get a new home, right?
Mm. Yep.
I hope they worked out well, though.
Yeah, I think it did. I think we get updates of the renovations and stuff like that.
I'm so happy to hear that because I reached out to the Eurasians International to also highlight it to them.
Oh, nice. Right, to come down.
Excellent.
Yeah. And, you know, I just wanted to say, well, I hope you're well, Raymond. I don't know him, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He was my first influence in hip hop.
Oh.
Yep.
But anyway, I'm glad things are panning out. And, you know, but when I saw this, I said it was great to see the DJs coming together to help each other. I think that was a beautiful thing to
Oh, my God.
Watch. Yeah,
when
it was.
When I came to the party, right, I saw Ivan Rentong in one table. I saw Nigel Mosbergen on another table. The amount of people that I saw, you literally had Music Force one table, you had Fusion Sound Enterprise one table, the Dana was there, whole bunch. And these were people that I've not seen in yongs. In yongs, you know, we're talking about the whole 90s. Everybody was there. You know, everybody was there. God bless Clifford and Kat for bringing up that whole.
I think it was an fundraiser. Amazing thing.
That was freaking brilliant.
Clifford's a good guy.
No doubt. Clifford's a brother. He's a champion. Yeah.
No, I think just to watch that, you know, and it made me think that how can, you know, a bunch of so much solidarity amongst the club DJs, and you don't even have to be a club DJ. You can even be an events DJ,
right?
You know, and not spinning in clubs, right? But the solidarity is so amazing. You know, I see Alan Olivero also doing whatever he can to get those things going for Raymond Burrows.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, you know, why wouldn't it wouldn't be such a bad idea, since there's so much solidarity, for DJs to come together and do something. Since, you know, you did the Guinness Book of Records and all that.
Right. Yeah.
I would say, how about coming together as a force and then dictate how things move in clubs, and show people that you can't go on with just using digital and AI.
Correct.
You know, when there's solidarity amongst, you know, as a union of sorts.
Right. I mean, it's easier said than done. People have actually talked about this for years before.
Have you guys?
Yeah, we've actually talked about things like this. But the problem that I think a lot of us face is that being a DJ and being an entertainer, you're pretty much an individual and you deal with clients as an individual.
Mm.
You know, so there's no... I mean, unless we all come together to have agree to a governing body to set certain rules and precedences, I think that would be good.
Right.
You know, until such time, I think everyone needs to agree on that.
I remember about maybe 10 years ago, I heard a story about how a DJ agreed to do a New Year's Eve party at $200.
Mm-hmm.
I found out about it. I was like, fuck.
New Year's Eve, $200. Oh my goodness. Talk about undercutting.
Yeah. I mean, it happens, you know. So
spoil market, right? So I got fed up. right? Mm. And at the time, I was working with Anil. I was at Al Capone's, right? So I asked Anil, bro, do you mind if I get a whole bunch of DJs? We sit down together and we talk about market rates and what it should be. So I think I can still find this on Facebook, on the DJ forum. So what we did was we called in a whole bunch of DJs. So about 40 DJs from all the different era segments. You had the Bhangra DJs, you had club nightclub DJs, you had regular club DJs, you had events DJs come in. And everybody sat down. I chaired the whole thing and I told them, okay, we know that this $200 deal should not happen. Everybody's bitching about it, right? So why don't we come up with a standard pricing where you can go 50% up, 50% below, whatever it is, but that is the guideline you should be looking at. So we did. We did the whole thing. And for a good 6 months, there was a lot of back and forth on the group chats. Yeah, right? And then everybody was quite happy. Mm-hmm. Then after a while, it started again, right? So that's the sad mentality of how things are.
Right.
Because even though we want to say, fuck lah, it's a $200 job, fuck it, don't do.
I mean,
some motherfucker will take the job.
Correct, but it's hard to say. You get a young DJ who wants to gain the exposure.
Yeah.
He's be willing to take, I'll do the New Year's gift for $200 and take some pictures and put on social media. Hey, that's me on social media. You know, so they use it as a leverage for them.
You know, I mean, for the MC world, right? I mean, FD and I, you know, FD and I used to work together for quite a number of years for the MC Academy.
Yeah.
And, well, after a few batches, we got quite a lot of graduate students, some of them, which we're very proud that they're now like fixtures in the event business.
I know some of them.
Yeah. And I'm proud to say that they came in and out of our door. Yeah. And we did come into a discussion where could we come to a point where we have a sort of an index, you know, for rates. Yeah. But I tell you, after, like you guys, what you've experienced, we had the same issue.
Yep.
But you have the new entrants who will go, how about me?
Yeah.
You know, when I start out, I volunteer to do things for free. So I get my show reel going and blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And that alone already would actually go against the grain. It is a challenge, but I don't think it's about rates we're talking about here. Mm. I think it's about getting mindsets changed amongst the wider marketplace, amongst the consumers and amongst the club owners and bar owners.
Yeah,
you know, it's to get your profile of the club DJ up there again. It's not about the rates anymore.
Yeah,
right. Rates, you guys hear some clown go out there charging peanuts, right? You all should know what you want to do to him, Zaola. But when it comes to the marketplace, commercially, maybe something could be done.
That's the thing. Doing a little bit of homework throughout the whole experience with that match. I was going to say match fixing.
what kind of homework are you doing?
Throughout that whole experience of doing that thing at Al Capone's, right?
Yeah.
I realized that there could have been a law that we broke. Which was price fixing.
Mm.
So price fixing, that's why you have watchdogs like Singtel cannot follow M1 pricing. Right. That kind of shit, right? So that's why we made it strict and call it a guideline.
But brother, you are in a gig economy.
Right.
It is not a sector.
Yeah.
You know, maybe there is, maybe you don't fall into that category because it's a gig economy. So practically everyone's a freelance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So it's a different ball game, you know. Okay, we got to move on, man. Otherwise this becomes a two-parter. I have a problem, eh, Kai? You're going to have a freaking problem, man.
Sorry, brother.
Hey, no. We're having a great conversation.
Yeah.
It's all free flowing. I think it's amazing.
Nice.
Okay. You two, you just ask a quick question. You just give me a quick answer, okay?
No such thing as quick answer when you've got two Geminis in front of you, bro.
Oh, you also Gemini, yeah?
Both Gemini.
Of course, my son's a Gemini too. Okay. So now, but this one's just quick fire, rapid one.
Okay.
You move from vinyl to CD to digital MP3, right?
Yep.
Of all these, which one is your number one favorite?
Now. As in
now,
yeah. As in now, Suratos with MP3s.
Seriously, not vinyl? Right.
Not many more.
Well, I am so shocked.
Well, not vinyl.
I would agree with Victor. Serato's
what the fuck?
Because the it allows you with so much of creativity. It gives you a platform to do so many things.
Really?
Above the limitations of just vinyls or CDs.
I am so surprised to hear this coming from YouTube.
Okay, look.
Surprise.
Now with the softwares that we use, right?
There is
the two major ones, like Serato and Tractor, right? So I personally use Serato. Titus uses Serato as well. We don't need to lug around 200 records, and when we get there, we realize, oh shit, I was told it's going to be a 35-year-old to 45-year-old Chinese crowd. I go in on there, hey, got Indians, hey, alamak, got Ang Mo.
Then you don't have the records.
Yes. Right. So now I carry a laptop with 40,000 songs, right? So that I'll be able to play whatever I want to play. And if I want to, I can press this button and the vocals go off.
Correct.
Fair. You know, that's fair. I never looked at it that way though.
Yeah. So it's more than that. It's, you know, you can do
it's
remix.
It's a lot.
You can do a remix on the fly.
Right.
You can take out vocals, you can take out beats, you can take out basses. Can you imagine you play one song and you put the vocals of another song?
Yeah, I never knew that, no.
It's so creative.
I never knew that you could take out vocals using your Serato.
Yes. That just happened. It's called Stems.
Stems. It just came out, I think, in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Yeah. All I know is that, you know, when I get backup music, right? I found a site where I can get my backup music and they can actually get rid of the backing vocals.
Correct. Yeah.
Just dump the file in and then it gets... So this exists in your system as well.
So let me ask you a simple question. Back in the 90s and 80s, let's say you have a singer, okay? Maybe Jeremy Montero comes and he says, oh, you know, I'm going to get Marina Xavier to sing Shaka Khan Ain't Nobody. But then Marina says, I only want the minus one. So Jeremy has to go to some studio, pay people money, take the open reel, take out the... Yeah. Now, Marina Xavier just comes to the gig. I can even ask her, Marina, what key would you like it? I can straight away play the instrumental for you.
You're not joking.
Original instrumental.
And you can change the key.
You can change the key. You can change the tempo.
Oh, you mean you can actually find that for singers? The DJs?
Yes.
On the spot.
On the spot. And
how can a DJ not be hired then? Because it's so fucking useful, man. It's ridiculous, man. I thought I had to get my own backing tracks, man.
Yeah, so you just press that button. That's it. You then Marina says, oh, I don't like the bass. Okay, I take out the bass for you.
Whoa, really? Yeah.
After if you play in a 4 hour set, my stamina is not like it was back in the day.
Not yours, right? Man, trust me.
So there is this
not only for DJ.
Yeah.
Okay. TMI, brother.
So there's this button which creates a lot of controversy. It's called sync.
Okay.
S-Y-N-C.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So the sync button is where you can press and beats get bitch matched.
The BPM matches automatically.
On the spot.
So if you're playing one track, which is a 95 BPM, you press the sync button, the next track will automatically be at 95.
Even though the BPM for the next track is way off on the first
one.
Yes.
You know what? That beat sync also exists in the Canva program for designs.
Yep. I guess so, yeah. Yep.
When you plug audio into it.
Yeah. Yep.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So you can have Dancing Queen as one song. You can have Take On Me as the next song. Yeah. You can put it on the same BPM, of course. The vocals can be the same because you can keep the keys the same.
So you really don't need much skill anymore.
Yeah. But so you know why people like us get hired?
Mm.
It's because we know music.
Correct.
So, correct. Your discography, your knowledge of the beats and all that. Yeah. And what would draw a crowd, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But what I think is lacking also right now, and there's a lot of room to actually improve, is the creativity with using all these tools. I don't see many DJs really using these tools to make themselves different from the others.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so I think if you capitalize on this and you spend some time doing your homework, you know, practicing, and you become a DJ like no other, because the whole idea of being a DJ is because you're unique. You're different from the other DJ.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to move on. You two have spun tracks at some of the hottest clubs in Singapore. And my goodness, thank you for giving me the list of clubs that you guys played in. It was quite an eye opener, I gotta say.
Encyclopedia in the 90s.
I mean, jeez, this one I can show you. La. This is your list, right? I highlighted some here.
Okay.
Because I noticed that you two guys played at the same clubs.
Yeah.
TGIF in Far East Plaza. Boy, top 10 in Orchard the four floors of whores. Caesars, also the four floors of whores.
Bring it up.
Oh, you're bringing it up. Okay, yeah. Okay. Here are the clubs, man. Well done, my friend. Roots, Kilimanjaro, Jams 2000, and the Woo Bar.
Yeah.
And how is it that you guys ended up all at the same spot, man?
I used to follow him around, lah. But there were also times that he was following me around.
Yeah, I think we played the music genres that we would like to present were pretty much the same.
Right.
Maybe, you know, funk, soul, hip hop.
Not at the same time, right? You guys are not spinning at the same time, right?
There were, no. I think the only time we were together was during Hotline.
Hotline.
We in Ming Arcade.
Yeah. And then when those clubs in Boat Quay, right. if Roots and
Kilimanjaro.
Yeah, so if he was in Roots, I was in Kilimanjaro, something to that effect.
You guys really like conjoined in the hips. Really, man, it does seem that way, man. And you brought here Crescendo.
Oh, Crescendo, my God.
That's Club Crescendo, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's in, not in Novotel.
No,
that was
that
Equatorial.
Was Equatorial.
How come I didn't see you there? I was a regular there every night.
I think I was there during the dying days. I was there. I used to cover, what's her name? Didi.
Didi. Yeah. Small little girl.
Yeah, small little girl.
Yeah.
Didi. Okay. Didi. Wonder what happened to her.
And also Cheers, man. Cheers at Novotel, man. When Spencer Gohawk, shout out to you. And also Karen Ho. And you know, Tony Z, shout out to you too. And Wirapas.
Wow.
They were the band.
Yeah.
I remember that. I'm as good as a customer. You know what I mean? What do you know?
And still comes to some of my gigs.
Yeah. Oh, really?
And Wow.
And bar none. Funny also, you know why? Because I was a regular, my wife and I at bar none.
Oh, no. I was in bar none at the second bar none. There was a first bar none, which is the one where Linus was playing together with Douglas Oliveira.
You're talking the one on the first floor, is it?
No. That was the one at Marriott. Right. So I was there much later when Banan was taken over by St. James.
Okay, then you were in Banan as well.
Yeah.
Which era was that?
That was same time as when Linus was there. And I think when Douglas was still playing there.
Okay, so you were the Banan at the bottom. Yeah. At the basement.
Yeah, my Banan was the 5 series Banan.
How come I don't remember you, dude? I used to be there like every Friday night.
I used to play Banan and I used to go and do the late hours at the living room. You know, and that would go on till about 4 or 5 in the morning.
So of all these clubs that you guys played in, man, which is the one that has a very special place for you?
Wow.
Oh my God.
I'll tell you, there's only 2 clubs.
Okay.
Okay, that has a very, very special place. TGIF and Caesars.
Why?
Because when I started DJing, I know I listened to a lot of music. I love Bob Dylan. I love Led Zeppelin. But I've always wanted to play hip hop and R&B. There's something about that genre of music that always gets me. Funk, soul, hip hop and R&B. And I used to tell the bosses, put me there. I want to play hip hop and R&B. You know, finally they put me in TGIF and I used to play some of the hardest and the most underground hip hop that I love. And the Navy that used to come in and nobody else would play stuff like the radio could never play it.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't even bring the records in for that. But I loved it and the club would just go absolutely wild. I'm playing track 13 of a CD album, you know, of an artist and nobody else in the world would play it. I'll play and people are still dancing. What an amazing feeling.
You play the B-sides, you mean?
Yes, I could play stuff and see people go off and just dance.
Unfortunately, I am going to say the same places, you know.
Huh?
Yeah.
TGIF and Caesars.
Yeah.
Why?
Because it came to a point in my life where I could walk down Orchard Road and people be like, hey, that's the DJ from TGIF. Hey, that's the DJ from Caesars. Because it would be an American sailor. And we were so popular, the guys would mail us stuff, you know, would mail us records, would mail us CDs back in the days, right? And we used to go to Chua Ju Huat and at Far East, second floor, to just pick up the owners of Chua Ju Huat, right? It was called.
Yes.
The owners would keep pirated records and CDs for us. They put it under the table, you know.
I mean,
parental guidance.
Parental advisory.
CDs.
I hope they've closed down and not been.
Yeah, they're gone. But that was such a charm.
Yeah, it was.
Charm. Of course,
you were playing. I mean, you were actually playing stuff that is not the mainstream.
Yep.
And you were playing tracks that you thought you could, you wanted to present, mix it in, program your music, and to see it just go off in a club and everybody just dancing.
Well, I gotta tell you guys, you know, I'm really it's really nice to hear that both of you picked TGIF and Caesars. And let me tell you why, because that's where you guys made your name. And I'm saying this from a consumer's perspective, because when you talk to anyone who partied when you guys were there, till today, they still say, yeah, I remember Victor Shakur, or I remember Titus Singham. I'm telling you, man, there are people who've never forgotten you guys. And then hence the reason why you're on my show.
Because so many people
have always, I hear your names often enough. Often enough, you know, that people have never forgotten you.
Thank you.
There's any, maybe I'm using the term loosely, forgive me. I don't like to use this term, but if it's any consolation of your career so far, is that you've left an indelible mark in the minds and memories of a lot of people who have partied at your parties.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's a wonderful feeling to be able to deliver that to people.
Yes,
yeah, so I still to be remembered 20 years now.
I want to be the one to tell you this, because otherwise, why are you here? You know, I want you guys to know that.
Thank you.
And I want to also highlight this particular bit. Something really special happened for Victor Shakur during this year's Hari Raya Puasa celebrations. Kai, can we please play that wonderful vid, please? And I need to bring the volume down, as we're all going to go deaf.
Okay. Okay.
Here we go.
What?
Open it. It's not really an eyeball, but you can open it and see. Open it. We are going on a father-son trip to New Zealand.
What?
It's where you always wanted to go, right?
Yeah.
So we'll go in September. I already reached out to August Investor and I got him to clear you for that week already.
Ah?
Yeah. He cleared you for the whole week already.
When did you reach out to August Investor?
Yesterday. I bought the tickets yesterday.
Oh, man.
Now, Vic, now I want to have kids. How?
Wait, you have no kids? It's cool.
It's cool.
You know something, man. I mean, I watched that, you know, when it was out there in the socials. And then after that, Kai, can you put up the article, please? And then next thing I knew, it was out in all the medias, man. All the mainstream medias, man. And I think it's a beautiful thing. I just watched that and I go, you know what? I mean, well done, my friend.
Oh, man.
And heartiest congratulations.
Thank you, brother.
You got a great kid. You know, and when I saw that, you know what I did? I took that and I showed it to my son. I told him no pressure. But this is what I love about a real kid and dad relationship. You know, and I'm also very happy with my boy. He's only 15, but you know, he's a fantastic boy. And when I saw that with you, what happened with you, man? Immediately it struck me, it's like, you know, I saw, you know, what how much joy a dad could actually have. And for a guy, and just to think, you know, your son said that you worked so hard. You know, I think it's amazing. And I'd like to say thank you to your son for sharing that, you know, that moment, because it should hit every single dad.
Yeah.
It hit me.
Thank you.
So I wanted to air that, because I said, dude,
you know what?
What else more can a man ask for?
I can watch that again and again and it still brings tears to my eyes.
I don't blame you, man. I am tearing.
When I remarried Anne about 8 years ago.
Right.
That was a beginning of a change in my life. So with what happened with Anne and how she used to push me to do things and get better my life and be a better person and stuff like that, it rubbed off me and my kids' relationships.
Right.
So I've got three kids, right? My boy is 26, Isaac. My daughter, Keisha, is 24. My stepson is Martin. Martin's 15 years old. So with all three, I am somehow ridiculously blessed. There's never been a time where I can go to my kids and say, hey, time to study. Go and study. No. They've had that mentality since young. Automatically, they will take their time. They will go and study. They will do their thing. I don't manage them at all. I just tell them, you do whatever you need to do. I will support you. Right? So that's what I've been doing all through the years. And this is not normal. You know, this is not normal because I was expecting that was okay. The little bit of context to that whole envelope thing is it was morning of Hari Raya.
Yes.
We just came back from my mom's place. Anne's mom's place. And then we went downstairs. So it was his first 2 years of working. So normally they give you a hang pao lah. So I was thinking it was going to be a hang pao lah. Right. So when I opened up and, you know, I just bawled in public lah. You know, and it was. It's not normal. It's not normal, but you know, I love my
No, babies. It's not normal, but I tell you what it is. It's fulfilled, man.
Yeah.
It's a sense of fulfillment, man. Yeah. I mean, you know, so many people out there, I'm going to say it very boldly. I don't know about you, but speaking for myself, I mean, when people see a dad like me, the size that I have and the things that I do and the ink that I've got, and they go, no, I don't know whether this daddy is a good daddy. Yeah. You know what I mean? You get all kinds of fucking stereotypes, man. Yeah. But take a look at this man, Victor Shakur. These are the kids that he raised, man. This club DJ, this guy was a club legend as well, you know, and then he raised great kids.
Thank you,
bro. You know, and
well, there really, you go. What more can you ask for, man?
Yeah.
Heartiest
congratulations, my friend.
Thank you, guys.
So it would be remiss of me not to put that up and mention this. There's no way I would do that to you in this program, man.
Thank you, brother.
No way. Anyway, I'm going to move on down because, you know, Kai and I are going to wonder about what the fuck are we going to do with the extra minutes. Okay. New Year's Eve. Let's talk about New Year's Eve, man. This is New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve is all about big celebrations and epic parties. Name me the most epic party each one of you ever had for New Year's Eve.
Wow.
Every year has been a wild party, man.
Well, I'll tell you mine. I got one story.
Yeah. Go for it.
You guys go ahead first.
I had one. Well, I cannot. I had so many good ones.
One that really stay in your mind, man. Something really crazy, you know. Something has never left you.
Okay, when we were working under James Poe back then in after Fusion days, he used to own a few bars in Boat Quay, right? So it was a matter of running six bars, right? There was Culture Club, Zappers Rock Bar, there was Roots, there was Kilimanjaro, there was, what was the one Roger Cool was working in?
South Bank.
Roger Cool.
Yeah.
I got him to play at South Bank.
Wait, Roger Cool. Wait, there are two Roger Cools now.
There's only one Roger Cool.
No, the blind Roger Cool.
The blind Roger Cool
was just spinning.
Yes.
You're then. Shitting me.
No, bro. My God.
We got him
You're
to spin at South Bank.
You're kidding me, right?
No doubt, bro.
And 1FM's Roger Cool.
Yes. We used to make fun. If we walked past the fucking console, we waved at the DJ, the fucker never waved back. Bastard.
No, I was the DJ manager and James Poe said, okay, we get Roger Cool, I need you to go and sort him out. There he was, the South Lang. He comes with his CDs all with Braille on it.
Yeah.
He's shitting me.
And he puts his hand and he's like, hi, this is Roger Cool. And then you see the microphone just melts. Right? And then the first song he plays was Little River Band.
Yeah.
Reminiscing.
Like, yep.
Reminiscing.
Yep.
That sounds so like Roger Cool.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, so those were the bars. So New Year's Eve, it would be crazy at Boat Quay.
right?
You can't even walk.
Yeah, so there was a point of time where us as DJs would actually play long records, you know, and help out with operations as well, you know. So sometimes like this bar would run out of barrels, we have to go to the other bar to get borrow barrels from, and then we had to
manpower shortages.
Yeah, and you would walk from one bar to another, which is like 50 meters or 100 meters away, but it would take you half an hour because it's just so freaking packed on New Year's Eve. My God. There was one particular year, it just was crazy. It wasn't just the ground floor we had. We had Kilimanjaro, and then the second floor we had the Motown Bar.
Kilimanjaro, and then Motown.
And so it wasn't just the ground floors, they had outlets upstairs as well. So it was crazy. So that particular year, I think it was the mid-90s somewhere.
Yeah, it must be the 90s, man. Yeah. New Year's Eve seemed to have taken more, you know, it would seem to be more a thing for people back in the 90s than it has been the last couple of years, in my opinion, anyway. Yep. How about you, Titus?
Well, I mean, I've experienced the same stuff as Vic did, but one that really comes to mind is a very unique experience. It wasn't too long ago, I say, but maybe just over 10 years ago. I was the entertainment manager for Coup d'Etat. Okay, I left Etika and I'm going to end. It was New Year's Eve party, of course. And first things first, two things happened. Boss comes up to me and said, "Hey, we got to stop the music." So why? It's New Year's Eve. I'm not going to stop. It's early, like, it's about 9 o'clock. But, you know, you're going to sing a special birthday song for someone who's special. And this friend is a special friend. He wants to come up and sing a birthday. So you really want to do that? He said, "Okay, fine. You're the boss, okay." So I make an announcement, right? Check this out. "Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're having a great time, but we're going to sing a special birthday song, and there's a special someone coming. I have no idea who's going to sing the birthday song, right?" And we're going to get this special someone to just come up and sing the birthday song. So just bear with us for a while. We'll get back with our regular programming. Guess who comes up to sing the birthday song? Rick Astley.
Oh, you're damn. Not fucking with me.
I'm like, looks the same. Yeah. No, he looks the same. You know, he looks the same.
Yeah. He's
and
not
with
changed.
The turtleneck and the jacket.
Yeah.
Mr. Rick Astley. All right. I couldn't believe it. I gave him the microphone. He sings the birthday song for his friend. Uh-huh. Okay. I'm still like, shit. Rick Astley just is a console next to me singing happy birthday for his friend. My boss could have told me, but he didn't tell me.
I would never forget that shit, man.
No doubt.
Okay, so, blur. So, but to top it off, the icing on the cake was on that night, New Year's Eve. So the countdown has to be timed in sequence with whatever celebrations is going on outside. Mm. You're on the top level of the Marina Bay Sands.
Yeah.
So timing has to be correct according to the timing for the fireworks.
Yeah.
So I had to make sure I had good time. So when I hit 10, 9, 8, ladies and gentlemen, you're partying the crowd and you say, we're going to 10 last 10 seconds to the countdown, 9, 8. The moment I said, 1, Happy New Year, the first fireworks shot up.
Wow.
And the fireworks is right in front of your face. On this eye level and the top of the Marina Bay Sands.
Wow, epic, man. That's beautiful. Epic, man.
Beautiful. And it's a jam-packed night, full house.
Epic.
People still trying to get into the club from downstairs.
Epic, man. Mm. Oh, that was awesome.
And it was, I think it was a Thursday night. And it was the hip hop and R&B night as well, so I really couldn't ask for anything more.
Well, you know, I mean, I've had New Year's Eve's countdown parties and like so many years in a row, right? And then it's been so many years I haven't had one, but I can tell you that throughout most of those times when I had to do gigs on New Year's Eve, I kept wishing that I didn't have one because I wanted to just be home.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But now I wish to goodness, man, I can get a New Year's Eve gig to just, you know, work on, you know, because I kind of miss it. Mm. But the most epic for me was that was the year actually that I started, you know, after that, I started going out my then girlfriend, now wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to have a lot of gigs at Chimes.
Right.
At the time when Bon Santé was around, I don't know whether you remember the wine bar, Bon Santé.
That's in the basement, right?
Yeah, in the basement. Mm. There was a courtyard well, right?
Yes.
No, this was a 98 to 99 countdown. Now, I waited for years to play 1999 from Prince, right?
Yeah.
I was with so many fucking years. Say, hey, this is the year, man.
Yeah.
You know what? It started to rain.
Oh, snack.
And it was an outdoor gig, right? And I had about 1,500, 2,000 people crowded out there and I had no stage. So you know what I did? In the rain, with a wireless freaking microphone,
right.
The AVL guys hated me so much. And I took the chair and I stood in the chair. That chair had to be totaled after that, by the way, because it wasn't just raining. It was storming.
Right.
So badly. Okay. And miraculously, the mic worked the whole night.
Wow.
Wow.
It didn't give up. Okay. Yeah, it was a sure. Hey, sure. You know, I love you, man. See, I got you in my arm forever, man. Okay. And then, you know, it was raining and I told the crowd, it was early part of the evening, and I said, I'm going to stay up here with you. Stay here with me. Rain, hell or fury, man. Stay here with me. Right. And they stayed. And I had wet, something like a wet t-shirt thing going on. Shit, right. So for the first, someone to take off her from underneath and throw it out, throw it at me.
That's epic.
So we did all kinds of shit, man, that night. You know, it was so fun. And we counted down 1999. The moment we were counting down, the rain stopped.
Oh, man.
The rain stopped.
And the winner for the best timing award goes to...
No, still Titus. That one's epic. Doesn't go... Yeah, that one's epic, man. That one's really epic. Now, I want to ask two DJs, man, two great DJs. What is your go-to anthem for your New Year's Eve party? Something that will never fail to get your crowd really jumping.
Oh, wow.
Wow, there's a lot to choose from. You know,
hard la, bro.
It's a bit of a hard one.
Yeah, depends on where we are. Depends on where we are.
Depends on where we are, the kind of crowd you're playing for.
Yeah.
You know, you know, so it's, and also depending on how you build it up.
Yeah. You know,
just to the point. The general demography of the crowd also matters.
I thought you were just going to say Auld Lang Syne.
Auld Lang Syne comes
that one must play, lah. That one must play.
That one you got to play.
Yeah, that stupid Mariah Carey fucking jam.
Oh, for God's sake.
Oh, my God.
No. Okay, moving down the line. What advice would you give aspiring DJs out there who dream of rocking the party scene? There's this thing. Okay, is it all about technical skills or is there more to being a successful DJ? We talked about that bit already, right?
Learn music.
So this thing about the DJ Institute. What's that, man?
Well,
can we flash that one, please?
Okay, well, that's my company, the DJ Institute. Well, I actually started this in 2000, and it was a DJ training school.
Right.
It was just opposite the Thompson Plaza shopping mall and one of the row of houses.
Oh, okay, yeah? Okay.
And,
Upper Thompson.
Yes, that's right. So when I started this company, you know, my friend had a company doing events for weddings. So we rented his house and we shared the space to do it,
right,
run the businesses. And, but I got so much of inquiries for events, for your weddings, for stuff like that. But I was still very much a full-time DJ, you know? So I was, at that time, I was just at the Wu Bar and then I moved into Attica. And then after that, I went to Coup d'Etat. So I didn't really push the business so much.
Right.
But it's only just 6 months before COVID that I decided to go on full-fledged with the event company thing. And then COVID came and then we had to just restart again at the moment the COVID cleared up.
But right now, is this still going on?
Yes. Right now, the DJ Institute, that's all. We are probably, I would rate it as a premium company doing events for weddings, your dinner and dancers.
Okay. So that is the name of your event company. Right. You're still teaching DJing.
Well, I don't teach DJ so much. We do special sort of like one-off lessons for introductory sessions and stuff like that.
Right.
But it's more event based and we provide top of the line DJ systems, all the latest DJ consoles, controllers, and all that.
Well, marketing them good, man. All up here, man.
Actually, while you're at it, you can talk about how DJ Institute owns the Reminisce brand.
Yes, yeah, that's right. So
Reminisce is this party series that we are actually doing.
That's right. It's So
that's what you guys have been planning. I've been doing all this while, right?
Yeah. So the Reminisce brand is actually, it started off with an old school hip hop brand. It's kind of music that we both used to play in the 90s and stuff like that. So this brand was very popular even before COVID. We used to do it like once a month at Blue Jazz. And the demography you get are slightly mature, older people, you know? So it's a nice demography, you know? And the music is stuff that we love to play. And now we have actually push the Reminisce brand to encompass things like the retro feel.
Right.
We could do a Reminisce rock, you know, and stuff like that. So that's the Reminisce brand that we're working on right now. And I think Vic does a great job on the social media and the digital stuff. So yeah.
Okay. Let's get back to the question. How about the advice to the young DJ, the young aspiring DJ? Vic, what do you think?
Oh man, if I were to give advice to a guy who just wants to learn how to DJ or wants to be a DJ, right?
Yeah.
I would tell them to put your phone down, learn music. Don't bother about mixing. Don't bother about any other technical stuff. Go and learn music.
Why do you say that?
Because you need to know what to play for people.
That's right. It's true.
So when you say learn music, you're saying learn to play an instrument?
Yes. Or no. Learn
discography.
Learn discography. Yep. Yeah.
Let me listen to you and make sure your music knowledge is there, of songs and your playlist. And you have to understand what you're playing, understand the artist, understand all that, right?
Yeah.
And discography and, then.
Yeah, that's one advice. The second advice is, which is something George Panous taught me from day one. Dress up when you come to work, right? When you come in, right? When you walk into that door,
right?
Anybody can see. Oh shit, that must be the DJ. It's all dressed
differentiate
up.
Differentiate yourself.
Automatically, 50% of the job is done.
Okay.
Right, because then when you go up, anything you do or say, it's just going to melt everybody.
Okay.
Right.
Notwithstanding what you guys discussed with me just now about the $200 a night DJ, but can people still earn a decent living doing this job?
Definitely.
Is there still a market?
Yep. Definitely. I mean, it's how, since the sky's the limit, it's how far you want to take it, you know, and it's really up to you how creative you want to be and how professional you want to be.
Yeah.
So it's basically up to you. You know, being a DJ to me, of course, the first and most important thing, you must have the right attitude. You must love music. You must be willing to present music. Be disciplined. It's like a footballer. You want to be a good footballer, you have to practice.
Yeah.
You know, you also must know how to deal with other footballers, you know, deal with the pressures and, you know, work with people, not have an attitude, have the right discipline, the right mentality. It's the same thing.
And drop the egos.
Yes, exactly. Keep the egos aside. Learn your music. Practice. You know, build your personality, you know, and I mean, look, there are a lot of things that come with as a great footballer, a million women would want to meet you. You know, you're a good DJ, women would want to meet you, but you need to keep all these things in check. If you let it slide, and I've seen it happen time and time again, you know, you can get lost with this.
Me, like the vices.
Correct. Alcohol.
Yeah.
Women.
Yeah.
You know, lifestyles, gambling, all the, I mean, if you let all these things affect you, you know, I've seen people commit.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen people let their lives go to waste. So
I got to tell you guys something, man. Yeah. You know, some of the terms that we use to describe, not wrong. But when the algorithm of this YouTube catches this.
Yep.
We have a problem. Yeah. You know, it's so silly, you know, letting a machine come and, you know, decide whether or not there's some shocking content or something.
Nah, he's just speaking the truth, isn't it?
Welcome to the world. It's ridiculous, man.
Yeah, it's a whole new game.
Yeah. And okay, let me just move on. Thank you for that, man. I appreciate that. As we wrap up the season finale, which is this episode, it's been a great season 4. You know, and I tell you, it's been so much work that Kai and I have been doing. But let me just ask you, what are your resolutions for 2025?
Wow. My resolution is to be a better person than what I am. To enjoy. Let me rephrase that. I think my resolution would be not to take things too seriously. And then just enjoy life, take it as it is.
Correct. Good.
Yeah. How about you, Titus?
Well, you know, every year people talk about resolutions and this, that, but I'll say this once and for all. As we go on with life, we don't gain time, we lose time. So all I can say, I want to be as positive as I can.
Yeah.
I want to enjoy my life and be as happy as I can. Stay away from the negativity because you only lose time. You don't gain it. So make the best out of it and make it a good one.
Power.
Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate the time that you spent with me today.
Thanks for having us, man.
Thank you very much for having us, man.
I just want to wish you guys a very, very happy new year.
Hey, happy new year to one and all out there.
All your blessings and wishes come true, okay? really, you know, I mean, all your wishes and all your dreams and all your aspirations, stay healthy, okay?
Thank you,
right. And keep rocking the decks.
All right.
We don't want you to stop.
In our goddamn wheelchairs, we will be doing this shit.
Oh, my, that's an idea.
Yeah.
Build a console in the wheelchair, yeah, man.
Wheelchair party.
Wheelchair, tongkat, you name it. Yeah. It all,
Guys, just to let you know, both Victor and Titus, they're going to work this mixtape. Again, I told you earlier on when we started the show. And do enjoy that. Play it 10 minutes to midnight. Okay? There's going to be danceable, nice retro tracks for you to really party at home or wherever you think you want to party, your toilet, you want to put your Bluetooth speaker and play, take a shower. So your call, lah, you know. But taking a shower 10 minutes before midnight, I'm just scratching my bloody head. Lah. But whatever it is, we've got something for you. It's a little gift from all of us, and especially from these two gentlemen, you know. You've got, you know, some of the best guys that you got that's going to mix this down for you. So party down, and we're going to count down together to midnight. So just play that on whatever device you've gotten and whatever is shook sendiri, okay? You've watched season 4. It has been a hell of a long season. We hope you've enjoyed everything that we've thrown at you. And my potty mouth linguistics as well. You know, from the UFO Reveal Asia series to the I Love My Jobs and to the tribute to SG Music Icons. Mm-hmm. And I promise you, we've already lined up production from January onwards for season 5. I've got the likes of Mr. Larry Lai and Mr. Brian Richmond coming on the show.
Wow, Larry Lai.
So we're working hard and giving you another great season, and that would be season 5. But until then, thank you so very much for being with us for season 4. And from all of us, from CCB TV and the Chris Hansen Conversation, and from Victor and Titus, have a fantastic new year, and may God bless you always. And love you and keep you. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
All Lang Syne. Bye bye.